When you bring up this very sensitive topic of divorce as to what people say about it and how people see it, particularly compared to what Jesus had to say about it. And if you're a guest of ours this morning, we're in a series called I Do Math. And we're looking at what Jesus said about the three probably hottest topics affecting the family today, which are marriage, divorce, and remarriage. If you were here last week, we looked at what Jesus said about marriage. And the reason why we did that was when Jesus was asked about divorce, and you're going to see this in a minute, he didn't start talking about divorce. He started talking about marriage. Because Jesus understands what I want you to understand. You can't understand what the Bible says about divorce or why the Bible says what it says about divorce until you understand what it says about marriage. Now, let me just kind of get an elephant out of the room and get everybody kind of breathing easy, okay? If you're here tonight, today, and you have been married and divorced, or married and divorced, and even remarried, this message really isn't for you. You need to relax. You need to chill. Nobody's going to try to put anybody on a guilt trip. We do not believe in this church that divorce is an unpardonable sin. We do not believe that divorce makes you a second-class citizen in the church. Some of our key leaders in this church are divorced. We have people on our staff who are divorced. And so I want you to understand the main thrust of the message this morning is not even dealing with those of you who have already been divorced. The main thrust of the marriage this morning, or the main thrust of the message this morning, is primarily those of you who are already married, or you are single and one day you want to get married. Logically, there are really only four options I could give you concerning divorce and remarriage. Okay? First of all, first option is divorce and remarriage are forbidden under all circumstances. And there are pastors and there are preachers and there are theologians out there who preach and teach that. Can't get divorced, can't get remarried under any condition. Second option, divorce is permitted in some circumstances, but remarriage is not. And again, there are pastors and preachers and teachers and theologians out there who hold that position. The third option, of course, would be that divorce and remarriage are permitted in all circumstances. This is laissez-faire, que sera, sera. Doesn't matter why you got divorced. You don't want to get remarried again. Go ahead and do it. And quite frankly, that really is kind of de facto the position that most pastors and preachers today probably hold to, whether subtly or whether out front. And then the fourth option is divorce and remarriage are permitted only under certain circumstances. So there's the four options. Now, at the outset, I just want you to understand there really are, in my opinion, two extreme views of divorce and remarriage. And you just need to understand, as a way of disclosure, I don't hold to either one of these extreme views. There are some people who, they want to try to dumb down the standard of divorce. And quite frankly, they really want to try to make God say less than what God really says. And so they basically, they allow for divorce and remarriage for any reason. So, for example, if the question is, all right, if my spouse is sloppy, or if my spouse lowers my self-esteem, or if my spouse has different goals than I do, or my spouse differs in parenting philosophies, or my spouse is a financial time bomb, or my spouse just makes my life miserable. Does God really expect me to spend the rest of my life with that person? And the answer they give is, of course not. Because their de facto position is, what's most important to me and what God really wants for me is to be happy. I don't hold to that position. On the other hand, you've got people who want to raise the bar higher than God did. And they try to make God say more than I believe that God really says about divorce and remarriage. And they forbid all divorce and all remarriage under any circumstances. And there are some very prominent pastors who hold to that position. Now, whatever position you hold to, before I get into my message or afterwards, let me go ahead and say one other thing, and some of you won't like this, but I'm going to be very honest. I really cringe today when I hear people say something like this. Blank is a very complex issue. So let me just kind of help you here. Abortion really isn't a complex issue. Adultery and fornication really isn't a complex issue. And divorce really isn't a complex issue. Now, the consequences of divorce can get very complex. And the decision about making a divorce for you may seem to be complex. When I went to Ground Zero my first time, December of 2001, I never will forget it. We'd taken our family up there for a few days to kind of, you know, get to see the sights and sounds of New York at Christmas, which is a great trip, by the way, if you ever get to do it. But I never will forget, we got on the subway, we, you know, left Manhattan, we went down to Ground Zero, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that twisted steel and the buildings lying in ruins, and I'm sitting there knowing there are dead bodies still underneath all of that rubbish, you know, and all of that garbage and all of those ruins. And I'm sitting there looking at that, and I couldn't help, this thought flashed through my mind. I think that's what divorce looks like in the eyes of God. Twisted families, broken kids, shattered dreams, wrecked lives. Now, let me just say something real quickly. And I've tried, when you do a message like this, you try to anticipate what people are thinking, right? And you can kind of get ready to duck rocks and tomatoes and that kind of thing. I have counseled separation, and I do counsel separation. I do not believe a woman should stay in an abusive situation. If your husband is beating you or being verbally abusive to you, that needs to stop. And if he needs to leave or whatever, you know, I counsel separation. And I do believe there are times, I've seen marriages where there probably needed to be a separation. There needed to be a cooling off period. I get that. But if divorce ever finally kicks in, Jesus said it's because of the hardness of our heart, the unwillingness to obey God and trust God and persevere until the problem is worked out. That's what, and again, don't get mad at me. If you want to send an email, send it to him. Okay, I'm just telling you what he said. Okay, now, and I don't have his address. You'll just have to figure that out on your own. Now that we know the reason behind the divorce, now at least you can understand the restriction on divorce that Jesus puts. Because Jesus says, okay, you really want an answer to your question. Yeah, we really do. Okay, I'm going to answer your question. Are there any biblical grounds for divorce? Any reason that God permits divorce? Verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Now I want to say this slowly because I want you to hear it clearly. It's real simple. If you divorce your spouse for any reason, doesn't matter what it is, other than sexual immorality, and you remarry someone else, you commit adultery. The problem is even worse than that, because I want to go back to what Jesus originally said in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this. I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and that is if she remarries, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now let me tell you why Jesus was talking to the man. Ladies, back in the day, unfortunately, women didn't have the same rights that men do. Women had no right to get a divorce. Didn't matter how bad your husband was, didn't matter if his breath stunk, didn't matter if he wouldn't eat your food, didn't matter if he was terrible in bed, didn't matter. You could not get a divorce. You didn't have any rights, no legal rights in the court. Only a husband could divorce his wife. So that's why Jesus is talking to the husband. Today, he'd be talking to both sexes. He'd talk to the husband, he'd talk to the wife. And he says, okay, let me tell you the chain reaction of sin that divorce sets off. He says, every time a husband divorces his wife, or vice versa, for any reason other than sexual immorality, if he remarries, he commits adultery. The person he remarries, she commits adultery. If she remarries, she commits adultery. The guy that she remarries, he commits adultery. So Jesus said, you talk about a mess. He said, an unbiblical divorce leads to multiplied adultery. And the word for sexual immorality is the Greek word that gives us the word for pornography. And it simply refers to any type of sexual activity that's outside the marriage bond, whether it be adultery or homosexuality, whatever it might be. So as one scholar put it, he said, divorce that does not result from adultery results in adultery if there is remarriage. So again, we're just kind of laying this all out. As painful as it is, and I know it's painful, I know it's not popular, I know it's not politically correct, I get all of that. But what Jesus basically said is, you can throw any reason you want to up on the wall, it just won't stick. Incompatibility, alcoholism, drugs, poor money management, gambling, too much golf, too much football, not grounds for divorce. Jesus said when two believers marry and they become one flesh, the only thing that can break that one flesh bond is adultery. That's it. I read the other day, they were having a linguistic competition over in London, England. And a man who won the grand prize gave such a brilliant answer, the audience gave him a standing ovation which lasted over 5 minutes. This is what he said. The final question in this contest was this: how do you explain the difference between complete and finished in a way that's understandable? Because as you well know, most people would say there's no difference between us, you know, complete and finished. You know, in just a few minutes, my sermon will be complete, and therefore I will be finished, right? So everybody thought, well, there's really no difference between complete and finished. Here was his award-winning answer that got a five-minute standing ovation. He said, when you marry the right woman, you are complete. When you marry the wrong woman, you're finished. And when the right one catches you with the wrong one, you are completely finished. Now, Jesus said, the only thing that can completely finish a marriage is adultery. So, oh, by the way, let me stop. If you're thinking about cheating on your spouse, or you're in the process of cheating on your spouse, and you're sitting there saying, but it's the sex is great. I haven't had this much passion in years. I have fallen in love all over again. I just wanted to kind of warn you that the thrill of victory doesn't equal the agony of defeat. Because of those people who destroy their marriage because of someone else, 80% regret their decision. 8 out of 10 people say, I wish I'd never had the affair. Of the 10% who do marry, the person with whom they committed adultery, 70% of them get another divorce. So in other words, the chances of staying married to the person you have the affair with is less than 30 out of 100. So nobody, no wonder Solomon said, only a fool commits adultery. Only a blooming idiot commits adultery. Now, one caution here. Let me just stop. You're sitting there and you say, but my spouse has been unfaithful. My husband's been unfaithful. My wife has been unfaithful. Jesus would say, that still doesn't need to lead to divorce. And Jesus would say, there are two things that mitigate what I just told you. Yeah, there's a biblical right and a biblical reason to get a divorce if the spouse has been unfaithful. That is true. However, Jesus would say, all of that goes out the window if two things are true. Number one, if the guilty party confesses and truly repents, and the innocent party truly loves and forgives. Now, Jesus said, if that doesn't take place, then this is what I say. The innocent party can divorce and remarry. The guilty party cannot. The guilty party can get forgiveness, but she or she no longer has the freedom to remarry. Now, again, this is one of those messages where, you know, you just gotta grit your teeth and say it. And I want to say this with much grace and as much love and as much mercy as I can. You may not like what Jesus said. He's just giving an honest answer to an honest question. He says, look, if you're going to live a life of obedience to God and you want to live in the center of the will of God for your life, you've got to understand, you've got to know the reason behind divorce. You've got to understand the restriction on divorce. And then here's the last thing. He says, you've got to accept the reality of divorce. Because this is my favorite part of this message. You ready? I'm going to show you how I'm sharp. I'm sharp today. Because I know what a lot of you sitting out there and you're thinking. This is the 21st century. I don't care who said it. I don't care that Jesus said it. It is completely unrealistic. Are you actually going to stand up there and tell me, honest to God, that no matter how miserable I am, no matter how different we are, no matter how big the faults my spouse may have, no matter if we just really regret we ever met each other to begin with, you're honestly going to stand up there and tell me, except for adultery, I cannot, in the eyes of God, be divorced? Well, here's the good news in what I just told you. You get it. That's exactly right. That's exactly what he says. You understand it. And the reason why that's kind of good news for me and comforting me, if that's what you're saying, is that's exactly the way the disciples responded. Because listen to what they said in verse 10. It's kind of funny. The disciples said to him, whoa, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it's probably better not to marry. In other words, here's what they're saying. Let me get this straight. You're saying if I walk into this house called marriage, there's a door that says entrance, but there is no door that says exit. You're exit. You're telling me there's a front door to the house. There's not a back door to the house. And Jesus said, yep, that's what I'm telling you. And they're going, whoa. Man, single life looks good. Maybe I won't go down that road. Well, listen to what Jesus responds in verse 11. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it's given. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said that? What he said was this, look, and this really does give me comfort because Jesus is saying to them what I'm going to tell you. Jesus said, look, guys, not everybody's going to buy what I just told you. Not everybody's going to accept it. Not everybody's going to agree with it. Not everybody's going to follow it. But you asked me a question, and I gave you the answer. I told you the truth. I'm telling you again, if you want to be in the center of God's will for your life, and you want to be in the center of God's Word for your life, this is the way it works. This is the way marriage is. When you said, till death do you part, God says, okay, I'm holding you to that. It is till death do you part. So, if you've never said, I do, you're single and you've never been married, here's what Jesus would say to you. You better think long and hard before you say, I do. Because after you say, I don't is no longer an option. After you say, I do, I no longer think I want to is not a choice. If you've already said I do, you better think long and hard about divorce if that's on your radar screen today, because Jesus said, look, marriage is not a game you play and you quit when you don't like the game. It is a covenant that you keep. A divorce attorney said this years ago. I thought this was great. He said there are two processes that should never be entered into prematurely: embalming and divorce. He was right. Because both processes involve death. So as I kind of wrap all of this up, let me just kind of bring everybody into the picture. Let me just kind of hit two or three groups right now. Let's say that you're married this morning and you're not divorced, but you're talking about it. Let's say that you're married this morning and you're not divorced, but you're thinking about it. Let's say that you're married this morning and you're not divorced, but it is really on your radar screen. Then let me just kind of counsel you. I do most of my counseling right here anyway. Now here's my advice to you. Three words. You might want to write this down. My three words of advice to you are commit and confess. Right now, you make a commitment. I'm going to stay in the center of God's Word. I'm going to stay in the center of God's will. And God, if you'll help me, if you'll help me, I want to work out my marriage. That takes two to work it out. One spouse doesn't work it well. I get that. Not going to happen. You confess to the Lord. Then watch this. You confess to the Lord your own weaknesses and your own faults, and you ask God to restore and rebuild your marriage. In other words, you ask God to work on you. Now, what if you're divorced and you're remarried? And this is where I'm going to help a lot of you in this room. Because there's some of you in this room and you've divorced and you're remarried and you struggle with this every day of your life. You have lived under a cloud of guilt and you live with it every single day. You may not talk about it. You may not really come up. But you do. And you know why? Because you look back on your life and you realize, you know what? I knew when I did it I shouldn't have gotten divorced. I knew it was not biblical for me to do it, but I did it anyway. I knew I was getting outside of the will of God when I did it, but I still got unbiblically divorced and I got unbiblically remarried. So you're sitting there and you're going, so what do I do? I wish you could have heard the couples that came after me after the 9:30 service, how this ministered to them. So you're sitting there and you're saying, well, Pastor, the cat's already out of the bag for me. I've already blown it. I did get a divorce for an unbiblical reason, and I got unmarried for an unbiblical reason. So what do I do? Just the reverse. You confess and commit. You just go to God like you would anything else, you know, and just say, Lord, what I did was wrong. No excuses. I was wrong. I'm asking you to forgive me. And then, Lord, the marriage that I am now in, I am committing to make the kind of marriage that brings honor and glory to Jesus. So, one case, You confess and commit. The other case, you commit and you confess. Now, you do math, I do math. And what God makes one can stay one no matter how difficult you may think it is. And let me just kind of wrap up this with a real practical thought. There are three things that experts across the board, I'm talking about spiritual experts, secular experts, I'm talking about people in the church, outside the church. There are three things that experts all across the board say, by consensus, are the three key components to hold a marriage together. The experts are telling us, if these three things are done, it's almost impossible for a marriage to fall apart. So this will be worth coming for. These are the three things. I'm going to put them on the screen. Number one, you got to make up your mind to stay with it. And that's where the battle all begins, right here in the mind. Let me just tell you something. If you think your marriage can't make it, it won't. If you think your marriage is not worth fighting for, you won't fight for it. If you think there's no way God can work this marriage out, it won't work out. You got to make up your mind to stay with it. Number two, you've got to actively work on the relationship. And by the way, working on your marriage never takes a vacation. We've been married, I told you, 37 years. We're still a work in progress. We're still working on our marriage. And then number three, this is big. Make a personal change in your own behavior or attitude. Did you see what that just said? Make a personal change in your own behavior or attitude. If you're a husband this morning, just raise your hand. You're a husband. Keep your hand up till I tell you this. Keep your hand up. Bad grammar, great theology. You ain't going to change her. Okay? All right, wives, hold your hand up. What do you think I'm going to tell you? You ain't going to change him. I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to do it. You know what? It's not even your job. That's God's job. I made a commitment that the best day of my marriage is going to be the last day of my marriage. Because one of us is going to die first. And I do pray selfishly it's me, because she can make it without me. I'm gone without her. But if I go first, I hope that she can find it in her heart every day, with all of my faults and all my problems and all my ADD and all my intensity and all my rabid love for the Georgia Bulldogs. I hope not a day goes by that she can't thank God for the gift that I was to her. And I pledge to you today, God forbid, that if you were to go first, I'll spend every day the rest of my life thanking God for the gift that you were to me. So I close with this. Whenever a ship's captain, back in the days when they had sailing ships, would go into battle, sometimes the captain would do something and every sailor on board knew exactly what he was doing. He would order a sailor to go up to the top of the mast and nail the colors to the mast. And it was his way of telling all those soldiers, we're not surrendering. The ship may be destroyed. We may lose our life. But we're not lowering our flag. We are not surrendering. And every sailor, when he saw that, knew, we don't have a choice. We have got to go into this with one motivation. Some way, somehow, we have got to win this battle or we won't make it. And I'm asking every couple in this room this morning that's married to nail the flag of your marriage to the post of God's Word and say, with God's help, this flag is never going to come down. The sea may be stormy. The battle may be fierce. But whatever else we're going to do, we're not going to surrender. We're going to say, I do, all over again. And as we say it, we're going to stay true to our I do for the rest of our lives and for the glory of God.
All right, church, will you please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter number 19 and verse number 8. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 8. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. Moses, because of what? The hardness of your heart. You know, there are many things that we do because our heart is hard. Our hearts, they are kind of, what's the word I'm trying to look for? It's grown some callous, you know. And the Bible talks about, you know, taking away the heart of stone and replacing it with the heart of flesh. You know? And that's just my prayer this morning, that the Lord is going to give us a heart of flesh, a heart that is ready to respond, you know, positively and appropriately to the instructions of the Lord, not just in marriage, but in life. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.